I want to begin this morning by asking you, and Scott, you're going to have to go wide angle for a minute. I want to ask you this morning, are you paying attention? How many trash cans, think about this for just a second. How many trash cans do you have in your house? Think about that for a minute. Start counting how many trash cans you've got in your house. You probably have a couple of those, don't you? Would you say you've got more? Raise your hand. I wasn't going to do that. Raise your hand if you've got more than one trash can in your house. All right. So everybody who didn't raise your hand, you only have one trash can in your house? That's gross. Okay. All right. So maybe that's... See, I wasn't going to ask that question because I knew some of you would just not participate. So, but I would venture to say you've got a lot of trash cans in your house, don't you? I mean, you've got one in your kitchen. You probably got one maybe in your bathroom. Maybe in your bedroom you've got a trash can. I don't know. Maybe you've got laundry room. You know, you've got your... What do you do with all that lint? Those of you who don't have more than one trash can in your house, what do you do with all that lint that comes out? Don't tell me what you do with all that lint that comes out of your dryer. But you probably got a trash can there. You know, if you've got a shop or maybe a craft area, you got a trash can there. If you've got a garage, you got a trash can out there. What about the one outside your house? The one that you drag to the street, you know, when they come to collect. You start thinking about how many trash cans you got, and you're like, wow, no wonder you've got a lot of trash cans in your house. Well, this morning, I want to give you one more trash can that you need to take home, okay? Now, this lesson is for everybody, but it's especially... Gorman? This lesson is for everybody. But it is especially for some of you. Some of you need to take a trash can home today. And you need to use this trash can. Trash can I want you to take home today. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. Is the trash can that every marriage needs. You've got a lot of trash cans. Does your marriage have a trash can? I don't know if it needs one this big, but does your marriage have a trash can? Some of you just got married. Maybe in your registry you got a trash can for your marriage. I don't know. But in your marriage, you need a trash can. We're going to be in Ephesians 4 this morning. You got your Bibles? Because in Ephesians 4, God gives us a trash can that we need to have inside of our marriages. You may not think that this is about marriage in Ephesians chapter 4, but it's very much about marriage. It's about a lot of things. We're going to have a lot of stuff on the screen this morning. Some of you who take notes might be challenged to write everything down that we have up here. That's just a forewarning for you. What do we need to throw away in our marriages? There's some stuff that you all have inside your homes you need to go home and throw away. You need to do some purging. Some of you have been doing that over the years, or some of you have not. I know there are some people in here who are hoarders, and I'm talking literally, you're hoarders. You don't throw anything away. If you're a hoarder in your marriage, that's not healthy. There's some things inside of your marriage that you need to throw away. Ephesians chapter 4, are you there with me? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25 begins by saying, put away all lying. And I put all sorts of synonyms on the screen so that you would know what we're talking about. You need to put away all lying, all falsehoods, all dishonesty. Inside of your marriage, there is no room for deceit. Well, you know, I'm just not going to share that. Well, I'll let him or her believe. Well, it's not really the truth, but, you know, they came to that conclusion on their own. That's what Joseph's brothers did about his death. They were deceiving their father. They were lying. Husbands and wives, we need to throw away. We need to take all of that deceit. We need to take all of that lying, and we need to throw it away. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8 says, remove falsehood and all lying far from me. If you've got any of that in your home, you need to throw it away. But along with what we need to throw away, there are some things in Ephesians 4 that God says we need to put on a plaque. that we need to engrave right there, perhaps above the wall where the trash can is. There are some things that we need to engrave in stone that we don't need to throw away. So instead of throwing something away, this is something we need to engrave on stone. Look at the rest of the verse. What we need to throw away in the trash can of our marriage is all lying and deceit. But then he says, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. Inside of your marriage, what you need is truth. You need to engrave that on stone and say, whatever we say to each other, it's going to be the truth. We're not going to lie to each other. We're not going to deceive each other. We're going to be honest with each other. A marriage that has deceit in it, a marriage that is built upon a lie, will not last. God says you take the truth and you speak the truth. Truth in your home should be non-negotiable, should not be optional. You got to speak the truth. Well, what else does the Bible say that we need to be throwing away? I mean, while we're in the purging mode, what else does the Bible say we need to throw away? Look in verse 26. Verse 26 says, be angry and do not sin. What does that say about some of our levels of anger? That it reaches the level of sin. We'll come back and talk about that. But what does the rest of verse 26 say? Rest of verse 26 says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That's a good rule for your marriage. To not let any arguments, to not let any fighting last until bedtime. You've heard that old expression, you shouldn't go to bed angry. Guess where that came from? Ephesians 4 and verse 26. Don't go to bed angry. Work it out. Figure out what's going on that you need to resolve. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3, the Bible says, anybody can start a quarrel. Any fool can start a quarrel. Do you have any fool? Don't look. Do you have any fool in your home? Any fool can start a quarrel. So the beginning of that verse says, let us, he's honorable, we'll stop striving. Are you honorable? Then stop striving. Don't be any fool who can start a quarrel. Be the one who stops it. What it might mean is that you don't go to bed. What it might mean is you stay up all night trying to fix it. But what God wants us to do is to take all of those arguments and all of those fights that we have and to throw them away. When we get to bedtime, we need to go to bed in a way. What does the rest of the verse say? The rest of the verse says that we need to reconcile. That we need to be reconciled. When you think about, not the rest of the, over in Matthew chapter 5, be angry and do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, in Ephesians 4 verse 26. But in Matthew chapter 25, or Matthew chapter 5, it talks about coming to worship. It says, if you come to worship and there you remember that someone has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. And I love what the verse says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 24. Go and first be reconciled to your brother. I love the word first. What's the first thing you need to do? Go and fix it. And that's talking about relationships with anybody. What about in your marriage? If you're having a fight and bedtime's coming, don't wait for the other person. Don't wait for the other. The word first in Matthew 5 says, you be the first one. First go and be reconciled. And that says to your brother. Insert the word husband. Insert the word wife. Go and be reconciled to your husband or your wife. In other words, in Matthew 5, verse 24 and 25, you can't be right with God if you don't seek to be right with others. Do you have sin-free peace in your home? Be angry and do not sin. You can be upset at your husband. You can be upset at your wife. But is it leading to sin? Is it an anger that reaches the level of sin? God says, engrave in stone that we're going to reconcile and we're going to reconcile quickly. Go back to Ephesians 4. What else does God tell us that we need to be throwing away? Drop down to verse 28. And you might not think this applies in your marriage. Verse 28 says, Let him who stole, maybe this does apply to your marriage, I don't know. Let him who stole steal no longer. What is it behind stealing? What's the heart behind everyone who steals? Self. Why does somebody steal? Because they want it. It's got to be for them. God says what you need to do in your marriage is to take all self-centeredness. Self-centeredness that would lead you in another situation perhaps to steal or to take something that does not belong to you. You need to take that and to throw it away. Philippians 2 and verse 3 says, let nothing. That doesn't leave room for anything, does it? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. So what do I have a right to do in my marriage because it's my right? Nothing. What do I have a right to do in my marriage because it's got to be my way and my way all the time? You got a right to do nothing. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each husband or wife esteem their spouse better than themselves. God says, what's more important than looking out for self? What's more important than demanding that I get my way? Elevating the other person. Elevating my wife, elevating my husband above myself and taking all self-centeredness and throwing it away. Well, what's there? What's left in place? Keep reading the verse in verse 28. If you stole, if you're self-centered, stop doing that. Well, what's left? He says, well, then you need to go and labor and work with his hands that he might have something to give. In my marriage, when I take all of my self-centeredness and I throw it away, guess what's left? Selflessly giving to the other person. Verse 28 says, I need to get a job. And I need to work. Instead of stealing what doesn't belong to me, I need to get a job and work so that I can make money. Yes, great. Why do I need to make money? What does the verse say? I need to make money so that I can pay the bills, so that I can live it up, so that I can take care of the grandkids. What does it say? So that I can give to those who are in need. My purpose in life is not to fulfill selfish pleasures. My purpose in life is to see to the needs of others, and that includes in my home. That includes in my marriage. So the rest of Philippians 2 verse 4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interest of others, his own spouse. Bring in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. It's not in the context of marriage. But the Bible says, Paul says about these Christians in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5, they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave themselves to us. Isn't that the right order in marriage? First, in marriage, give yourself to the Lord. Second, give yourself to your spouse. That's something you need to engrave in stone. And I'm going to selflessly, even if the other person doesn't, that doesn't matter. I am going to selflessly give for the sake of the other person in my marriage. What else does Ephesians 4 tell us we need to throw away? Look in verse 29. What else do I need to throw away? Let no corrupt word. You know what we're talking about? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. The word, the Greek word that's used there for corrupt is the word that means rotten, that means putrid. It's the same Greek word that's used back in Matthew chapter 7 to talk about rotten fruit. It's used in Matthew chapter 13 to talk about fish. Do you know what fruit and fish have in common when they go bad? And God says those are the kind of words, rotten, putrid, corrupt, foul words, God says, let them never proceed out of your mouth. Do you have any of those in your marriage? God says, all of those corrupt words, foul, putrid words, Those words that stink like rotten fish, you need to throw them away. There's no room for those inside of your marriage. Okay? Well, then what do I engrave in stone above it? What does the rest of the verse say? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So if I get rid of those corrupt, putrid, stinky words, rotten words, what do? I speak words that are for edification. What does that word mean? Words that build up. Do your words in your marriage, do they build each other up? Or are they putrid, stinky words that tear each other down? That it may impart what to the hearers? Grace. My words need to be grace-filled. Giving the benefit of the doubt. Grace-filled. Speaking to them perhaps in a way they don't deserve, but in a positive, encouraging way. Instead of a putrid word that is not healthy, using healthy, wholesome words to build each other up. What do I need to engrave in stone inside of my house? Those kind of words. Grace-filled words are words that are not just the right words, but they have the right tone. You know, sometimes you can say the right words, but it's the way you said it. You said, I heard the attitude, because you can hear attitude, can't you? That it may impart grace is not just the words. It's the tone and the attitude behind them. And God says those are the kind of words that we need. Go down to verse 31. In verse 31, there are six things in verse 31 that you've got to throw away. You've got to throw away, the beginning of the verse, let all bitterness. Circle the word all in verse 31. That means you don't get to keep any of your bitterness. Let all, and the word all is transposed to everything else in the verse. Let all bitterness be put away from you. You thinking about your bitterness? Let it all be put away from you. James chapter 3 says, bitterness is not from above. If bitterness is not from above, where's the only other place it could be from? If it's not from up there, if it's not from heaven, where's bitterness from? It's coming from hell. If I am storing up bitterness inside of my heart, it's going to come out in my life. If I've got sustained resentment inside of my heart, it's going to come out in my life. If I've got a sour attitude inside of my heart, it's going to come out in my life. And God says you need to take all of that bitterness inside of your marriage and you need to throw it away. But not just all bitterness. What's the second thing in verse 31? Not just all bitterness. Let all wrath be put away from you. What's wrath? You've got it on the screen. It is having an explosive temper. Wrath is when you just can't hold it in anymore. And you're going to let them have it. They've had it coming for a week, and now they're going to get it. All wrath, explosive tempers, be put away from you. I've got James 1 and verse 20 on the screen, but if you back up into verse 19, you know verse 19 better than you know verse 20. Verse 19 says that we are all to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath or anger. You know the verse. So he says, let everybody be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? Keep reading. It doesn't end with a period in verse 19. It's a comma. Verse 20 says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So if I've got an explosive temper, what does James 1 and verse 20 say? I'm not doing God any good. I'm not serving God when I've got wrath, when I've got an explosive temper. God says, you get that wrath, you get that temper inside of your marriage, and you throw it away. But not just all bitterness. What's the third thing in the verse? All bitterness, all wrath, and all anger. The word that's used here for anger is talking about a long smoldering fume that could be under the surface, but it's a long smoldering fume, but it's ready to burst into full flame at any moment. Do you have those long smoldering fumes inside of you, inside of your home that, boy, he's lucky I'm holding back today. Okay. Do you have those long smoldering fumes? Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9 says that anger, listen to this, anger rests. Where does anger rest? Where does it take up residence? Where does anger feel at ease? Anger rests in the bosom of fools. Makes you want to take those long fumes and throw them away, doesn't it? They don't have any place in our marriage. What's the fourth thing in verse 31? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and then your Bible probably has a word like clamor. What's clamor? I mean, you're like, okay, we don't have any clamor in our house. We don't even know what it is. What's clamor? Clamor is loud quarreling, loud yelling. What's clamor? Clamor is screaming to get your point across. I'm going to be heard, and I'm going to let everybody else in the neighborhood hear what I've got to say. Clamor, loud quarreling. It makes me think of Luke 23, the passage on the screen. When at the trial of Jesus, the Jews, the Bible says in verse 20, in verse 21 of Luke 23, they were shouting, "Crucify him!" Were they whispering that? Were they saying, "When you get a minute, we have something to share with you"? They're screaming all they can, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" You get down to verse 23, and it says, "The voice of the multitude prevailed." That's clamor. They were yelling so loud that Pilate didn't have a choice but to give in. Okay. God says, if you got loud quarreling in your house, you're shouting at each other, you're screaming at each other to get your point across, God says, let all of that be put away from you. It has no room. Throw it away. What's the fifth thing in verse 31? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. What's evil speaking? Evil speaking has to do with slander. Maybe you have a footnote, or the word that's used here is talking about mockery. Do you make fun of your spouse? You know, this isn't talking about just to somebody's face. Slander is something you do behind their back. Evil speaking is when we take words and we use them as weapons. Do you ever use your words as weapons? Maybe you use your words as weapons to your spouse. Maybe you use your words as weapons about your spouse when they're not around. God says all evil speaking, all slander, all mockery. No. That has no place inside of a Christian home. You got to throw it away. What's the last thing in verse 31? You got the word all again, and that's why it's transposed throughout the whole verse. Let all of these be put away from you with all malice. What's malice? Malice is when I want something bad to happen to somebody. Malice is ill will, where I want some harm. You know, maybe I won't do the harm, but it'd be okay if something bad happened to this person. That's malice. When my bitterness, my wrath, my anger boils up so much, I don't like this person so much, that I'm okay if something bad happens to them. And God says that has no place inside of your home. It's something you need to take inside of your heart and you need to throw it away. But then you get to verse 32. And in answer to those six things in verse 31 that you need to throw away, you get to verse 32. And God says, okay, what do you got to put in its place? You need to put on your wall to be kind. Maybe you need this engraved on stone right above that garbage can. Be kind. This is something where it is an unselfish concern for somebody else. Be kind. Matthew 5 and verse 7, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful. What will they obtain? Mercy. Are you merciful? Are you kind? That's what God wants us to put in place of all of those things that we throw away. What else is there in verse 32? Not just be kind, but be tender-hearted. Is that you? Would your spouse say that you're tender-hearted? God says, be tender-hearted. It's translated in some translations of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 as being compassionate. Is that you? When someone looks at you, when your spouse looks at you, do they feel that you understand them? Do they feel that you are pained when they are hurt? Not when you're causing the hurt, hopefully not. But even if you are, that you feel it. And then when they're hurting, you're hurting. That's being tender-hearted. That's what God wants in our place. So He says, be kind, be compassionate, be tender. What else in verse 31? He says, we've got to be forgiving. When He says, be kind, it's in the Greek present tense. Means you got to ongoing. Keep on being kind. Keep on being kind. When He says, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you, forgiving is in the Greek present tense. Ongoing, continuous, forgiving, forgiving. I need to have a spirit, a heart of forgiveness. Not a heart of bitterness. Not a heart of holding on to a grudge and I'm not going to let it go. I need to have a heart that is willing and ready and eager to forgive. Isn't that God? Is God willing to forgive us? Yeah. Is He ready to forgive us at any moment? Yeah. Is He eager? Or is God, I don't know, David, this is the 10th time this week you've done this. I think I'm going to wait and see if you get any better at this. God wants to forgive us. Guess what I need to do towards my spouse? I need to want to do it. Not hold it back, not say, he apologized, but I don't really know if he meant it. She apologized, but she didn't use the right words. She should have said this and this and this, and then the apology would have been accepted. I need to be eager to jump in and to forgive. Last thing I need to throw away in Ephesians 4. Last thing, and we skipped over it. Last thing I need to throw away is back in verse 27. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Keep going. You don't have a period at the end of verse 26. Nor give place or opportunity to the devil. Inside of your home, inside of your marriage, you don't need to give the devil any kind of foothold. If there is anything in your heart, in your life, in your marriage, in your treatment of each other, if there's anything there where the devil has his finger, maybe you haven't allowed his foot because you're like, that's too big, but if he's got his finger there, if he's got a toe inside of your marriage, you got to throw it away. This involves your thoughts about your spouse. This involves your emotions. This involves your attitude. This involves your words. It involves your body language. It involves everything about you. Give no opportunity to the devil. James 4 and verse 7, resist the devil. You probably know that better than 1 Peter 5 and verse 9. James 4 and verse 7 says, resist the devil. 1 Peter 5 and verse 9 says, resist the devil steadfastly. Don't stop resisting the devil. You think the devil's trying to invade your marriage? You think the devil's trying to flip you against your spouse? You think the devil's trying to make you argue, this is the context, make you argue past bedtime so that you go to bed angry with each other and you wake up angry with each other? Oh, that's the devil working in your marriage. That's not God. God says any place the devil has in your marriage, you got to throw it away. What do I put in that place? Instead of giving the devil an opportunity in my marriage, this is an easy question, all right? Instead of giving the devil a place in my marriage, who do I need to give a place in my marriage? Even a 3-year-old could get the answer to that. four things here. They all have the word God in it because this passage is saturated with God. Verse 24, I need to remember, I'm a new person. When I'm a Christian, I'm a new person. Created in the likeness of who? Not the devil. Created in the likeness of God. Instead of giving the devil an opportunity in my life, I need to live in such a way that I don't grieve God. I don't vex, I don't irritate God. That's what the word grieve there means. I don't bring sorrow to God by what I do. I need to live that in my, but I need to live that in my marriage. I need to forgive. I need to treat others how? As God treats me, verse 32. I need to remember that I am an imitator. Should be, chapter 5, verse 1 context, an imitator of God. A lot of things I need to throw away in my marriage. I need to throw away everything the devil has in my marriage, but I need to remember who I am. I need to remember who I belong to. And when I think about my spouse, and when I think about especially when I think about my spouse, and I think about the fact that I am married to a child of God, and that we are heirs together of the grace of God, I need to remember verse 25, that with both of us as children of God, that we are members of one another. Literally, we belong to each other. Your husband belongs to you. Your wife belongs to you. You are members of, that's what that expression means. You are members of one another. And together you are dear children of God. When you go home today, go ahead and count up how many trash cans you've got in your house. See if you were close when you guessed a little while ago how many trash cans you got in your house. When you go home today, you need to look inside your marriage. And you need to pull out a trash can. Figuratively, of course, but you can have a literal one if you want. You can go to Home Depot and buy those huge trash cans if you need one for your marriage. Figuratively, in your marriage, you need to pull out a trash can. You need to go through Ephesians 4 and you need to throw away everything God says throw away. I almost included, and in fact, they'll be on the slides that are online tomorrow. I almost included, don't have time today, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. In three verses, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2, 3, and 4, there's 18 more things you need to throw away in your marriage just in those three verses. But here's the reality. Some of you have been sitting here for the last half an hour, and you've been saying, boy, this is great. He's talking to the married people. I don't have to pay attention. Wrong. Ephesians 4 is not in the context of marriage. It's in the context of every one of us as Christians. And to every one of us as Christians, guess what God says? There are some things that we need to throw away. Do not all of us need to throw away lying? Do not all of us need to throw away anger that boils up into resentment and bitterness? Do not all of us need to throw away those corrupt, putrid, stinky words? Yeah. And that's why it applies to all of us. But it applies especially inside of our marriages. May God help us to use His trash can to clean up our marriages, to clean up all of our relationships, to clean up our life. As you look at your life today, are you where you need to be with God? As you look at your life today, are there some things in your life that you need to throw away? Some things that are separating you from God. You have sins that are separating you from God. You need to get rid of those. If they're separating you from God here, they will separate you from God for all of eternity. There's a lot of things that people will throw away in their lives. But today, I beg of you, do not throw away your soul. Israel, if you can get to the next slide, I think there we go. Don't throw away your soul. There's a lot of things the devil's going to come after you to do. Don't give him any room. Don't give him control. Don't give him a say with your soul. Make sure that your soul is going to spend an eternity with God. And whatever there is separating you from an eternity with God, throw it away. Make up your mind today. You're going to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You're going to repent of those sins that are separating you from God. You're going to stop doing what's wrong. Start doing what's right. Confess the faith in your heart that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And do what every single person in the New Testament did in order to have their sins forgiven. They were buried with Christ, baptized with Christ, into a brand new relationship with Christ. You can't even put on Christ until you're baptized in Galatians 3 and verse 27. Raised to walk a new life. Living faithfully with Him, walking in the light as He is in the light, doing our very best, and with His help, throwing things away in our life that don't need to be there, adding those things that need to be there so that we can be pleasing in His sight. If you're not right with Jesus today, why not come right now as together we stand and sing?